hands all over the building. Just love Jesus. He's the one that came. He's the one that bled. He's the one that died. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that secured our salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, because you've heard my cry. Hallelujah. Amen. Would everyone join those that are standing and turn to the Gospel of John this morning? Praise the Lord. Oh, what a spirit in the house. I believe Brother Heath said it in his prayer, but oh, that he said this service would just be a jump start to the camp. Well, the Lord is definitely here this morning. I want a divine moment to happen even in the preaching. God, just shut up our hearts to the truth and speak to us. Whatever's preached this morning, if you need salvation, he can save you. If you're hungry, he can feed you. If you're empty, he can fill you. If you're sick, he can heal you. If you're bound, he can deliver you. If you desire the Spirit of the Lord, he can fill you. Oh, hallelujah. It's not the sermon. I just read again the gospel. That'll help you read the gospels, you know. But about that great multitude, Jesus asked the disciples, how are we going to feed them? And, you know, they said, well, send them away. He said, oh, no. As long as I'm here, they don't need to go anywhere to have their need met. He said, they need not depart. And I want to tell you, you don't have to leave here this morning with your need unmet because Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, upon Jesus. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And John said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, Jesus. I want to preach this morning as we look into Camp Dove. I want to preach where the dove lands. Where the dove lands, descended from heaven and abode upon him. Amen. You can be seated. I've not entered the fray, but since the announcement from the Supreme Court 2 weeks ago, many Christians have voiced their consternation that a symbol from the Bible, a symbol from the time of the flood, a rainbow has been hijacked and misappropriated, and what was to be a symbol of God's promise has become a symbol of perversion and evil and sin. But before we get too caught up with that, and if you are, that is a concern. But I want to remind you, at Noah's flood, there was not only a rainbow, there was also a dove. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to preach this morning about that dove, because I believe the dove symbolizes the answer to the evil of our world. The dove symbolizes what our nation needs, what our churches need, what believers need. And I know in one sense Jesus is always the answer, and we'll come to him in the story. But can I tell you, when we view the condition of our land, the condition of churches, I want you to know the answer is the dove. The answer is the Holy Spirit at work. You see, in Scripture, the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, that third holy person of the triune Trinity God. And when we speak of the Holy Spirit and his coming, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we can put it this way. The Holy Spirit is God at work. The Holy Spirit is God speaking. The Holy Spirit is God moving. And I'm going to talk about two things the Spirit does. Number one, he hovers.
And when we speak of the Spirit hovering, we're speaking of the sense of God's holy presence. We're speaking of a sense of His nearness. We're speaking of when He begins to talk to folks. We're speaking when He begins to touch and to move. That's the hovering, that sense of eternity in the house, knowing that God is amongst us. That is the hovering of the Holy Spirit. But thank God He not only hovers, but He lands. He lights. Amen. And when He lands, I'm talking about when He infuses us with the zeal of God. He enthuses us with enthusiasm. He fills us with peace. He fills us with empowerment. He fills us with joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, and right, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many already in the message could say, oh, Holy Spirit, come, hover, but Holy Spirit, come and land. And I'm going to preach in a moment of where He lands. I want to revisit what I said at the beginning. I believe the Holy Spirit is the answer. When you see the things taking place in our nation, the perversion, the sin, the wickedness, the encroachment of darkness, I'll tell you what's behind it all. In spite of the men, and they're a problem, but behind the men, behind the human scene, is unholy spirits. We've been invaded by unholy spirits. I can tell you there's only one answer to unholy spirits, and that is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Could I remind us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Out in the world is an unholy spirit, but amongst the people of God, in the people of God, it's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus told us these last days before His coming would be like the very days of Noah, before God judged this world for its evil with a universal flood. I want to pause and look at what the times were in the days of Noah before that flood. I want to give you the scripture in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And it said, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, which they turn into movies and television programs, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, this is Noah's day, but how many realizes it's describing our day? Let's go on. Verse 11, I want you to notice the word corrupt. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Is it ringing any bells? Is that our world? Listen, verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh, or all humans, had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm telling you, it is evil. It is corrupt. It is defiled. It is polluted everywhere we look. This earth is racing towards judgment. But even this morning, you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. It's going to rain. This earth's going to be destroyed, Noah. But here is a plan to build an ark. And Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He got that ark built. And the Bible said only 8 souls. In spite of his preaching, only 8 souls. Noah, his wife, 3 sons and their wife. Only 8 humans entered the door of that ark. ark, then a representative of every animal species went up the plank into the ark. And when they all got in the ark, that three-story ark, God shut the door. I've got to move forward, but I've also got to tell somebody right now, the ark of God's grace, the ark of His safety, the ark of His salvation is wide open, and whosoever will can come and have life. But I also must tell you, there is coming a day when God shuts the door. Noah never shut it. One of his sons never shut the door. God shut the door of the ark, and it began to rain. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and in the midst of the rain, great earthquakes rift the earth crust, and the subterranean aquifers burst out from underneath the ground to join the falling torrents of rain. What a flood! It filled this earth and destroyed every breathing thing. Amen. What a flood. But after 40 days, it quit raining. And the Bible says for 150 days, the waters abated. First of all, the scripture said Noah looked out and he saw the tops of the mountains as the ark came to rest on the tallest of them. And then there's the tops of the mountains. He can see them in the distance. The water levels are dropping. And at the end of 40 more days, Noah opened the one window of the ark and he let out a raven, a blackbird. A raven, and the raven went out, flew over the waters, and disappeared, never returned to the ark. And so Noah, the next day or so, he opened the window and he let out a dove. That dove flew out over the waters, looked around, came right back to the ark. And the Bible said Noah stretched forth his arm and the dove landed on his arm, and Noah pulled the dove back into the ark. He waited 7 days. He released the dove again. The dove was gone a little longer this time, and he came back with a piece of an olive tree or leaf in his beak. Amen. That means the treetops are now above the water level. Amen. Noah waited 7 more days. He released the dove again, and this time the dove never returned to the ark. I have a question this morning. Why did the raven not return and the dove did? I'm talking about the dove's first flight. Amen. Why did the raven not return and the dove did? Amen. In Genesis chapter 8, it says that when Noah sent forth the raven, it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And I tell you, to answer the question, why did the raven not return and yet the dove did? It has all to do with the difference between what a raven is willing to land on and what a dove is willing to land on. You see, this is a surmise, but to me it's the best explanation. Noah sent out that raven, and the Bible said it went here and there, but there's no ground for it to land on. We find that from the dove. There's no treetop to land on. Amen. You see, there's something about a raven. He's not able to fly for 30 or 40 more days, stay in the air. He couldn't have done that. Something else about a raven. He's not a bird of the water. He's not going to float on the water for those days. So where did that raven go? No land to land on. Not a water bird. Not a bird that can stay aloft for all those days. Amen. There's only one surmise that's likely. A raven is a bird of carrion. A raven is a bird that'll eat the dead. And the only explanation is the raven never returned to the ark, because there's floating corpses and carcasses of humans and animals, and a raven was willing to land. I know it's not good for lunch, but it's the truth. A raven was willing to land on the floating carcasses of the dead and to eat of them when there was no land to light upon. Even that's what a raven is willing to do. But I want to preach this morning, a dove has a completely different nature. A dove is not going to land on the dead. A dove's not going to land on the rotting. A dove's not going to land on the corrupt because he's a dove. I said he's a dove. Amen. There's a lot of things you'll find a raven on, but you won't find a dove on those kind of things. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm preaching to you that a dove will not just land anywhere. He won't do it. Amen. A dove will not land on the dead, on the putrid, on the rotten. And listen, in case somebody else doesn't tell you, sin always results in death. He's not landing on sin. Evil is always putrid. They can paint it up. They can advertise it as glamorous and pleasurable. But I'm telling you, evil is always putrid. And the flesh, amen, that inner part of you that wants to do wrong, the flesh is always rotten. Amen. The dove's not landing on sin, on evil, on flesh. Oh, hallelujah. He's got a different nature. Amen. I know it's before lunch. Amen. This will help me preach a little longer. You won't be hungry. Amen. We were driving home this week, my wife and I knew he's there. I'd smelt him several times. But there was a dead skunk in the middle of the road. Amen. And we were past him. There was a big old buzzard, we called him, in Oklahoma, just feasting. Isn't that great? Isn't that appetizing? I mean, he's just feasting on that rot of that carcass of a skunk. Amen. I don't care how you prepare it. I'm not interested in eating skunk. Amen. But that vulture, that buzzard, he liked that skunk. Amen. I thought to myself, as this message was incubating in my mind and heart, I thought as we passed the roadkill trying not to look, I thought you'd never, ever, never, ever, never, ever catch a dove, amen, on roadkill like you would that buzzard or a crow or a raven. Why? They got a different nature. Amen. I want you to know, amen, some people are wondering why the buzzards are always hanging around their life. The vultures are all of sin and wickedness and darkness are always hanging around their family. I'll tell you why the buzzards are hanging around. It's because the wages of sin is death. There's death there. There's sin there. There's evil there. And that's why the buzzards of evil and darkness are hanging around. You won't find a dove there. He won't be there. But I want to tell you something else. Where there's spiritual life, where the blood of Jesus has cleansed the heart, where there's hunger for purity, where there's a thirst for righteousness, where there's a heart for God, there is a place that the dove, he'll land. Hallelujah. Oh, how many's praying the dove will land this week? On every heart. How many's praying he'll land on your heart? Oh, hallelujah. I've got to move on, but I want you to ask a question across the building. Is that thing in my life something a buzzard would land on? Or is it something the dove will land on? Oh, do you want your life to be such the dove can land on it? I'm going to tell you how that's possible. I want to tell you next of all, from the beginning, we see a dove in Scripture. In fact, from the beginning of time, we see the dove hovering over the unformed mass that will become beautiful earth. In Genesis, the first chapter, the second verse, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. Every commentary you can look at that knew the original language would say when it says the Spirit of God moved, it meant to hover or brood over, like a bird would hover or brood over its eggs. Oh, hallelujah. An unformed mass. But the Spirit of the Lord hovered. What hovers? birds hover. The dove hovers, unformed and dark. But now the Spirit's hovering, and suddenly there's light. Suddenly things come together. Suddenly there's design. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. You don't believe in evolution, do you? Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord, the dove hovered. Even your life may be a mass without form. Your life may be dark of hopelessness and purposelessness and sin, but I know a Spirit of the Lord that can hover upon your life and bring beauty. I said, bring beauty out of that unformed mass of your heart. And so from the very beginning, oh, I could preach here a while, but I got to go on. From the very beginning, the dove was there. From that moment of creation, the dove flew through history, through the Old Testament, from time to time, hovering over this place, moving on to hover over another place, hovering over this man, moving on to hover upon another man, all through the history of the Old Testament, here and there, periodically and occasionally, the dove was seen to hover. The dove stopped and hovered over Moses, and Moses had great revelations from God, came down from the mount with his face shining with the glory of God. Even the dove hovered over Samson, Sister Rebecca mentioned, and Samson was filled with a mighty power to overcome the enemies. Amen. Little shepherd boy up in the high pastures looking over the sheep. But the dove hovered over David, and the Psalms begin to rush out of his pen. Psalms that encourage us. In 2015, the dove stopped and hovered over a man called Daniel, and Daniel gave the interpretation to the dream, amen, that nobody could even tell. Oh, I'm telling you, all through the history, the dove is flying and he's hovering. But could I tell you that 2 millennia ago, 2,000 years ago, amen, the dove flew to a spot on earth called Israel, hovered over a river called Jordan, and descended and landed on the man God, Christ Jesus, there with the waters of Jordan running off of him. The dove descended and landed. I said landed on the pure, unadulterated, sinless Son of God. Oh, I said hallelujah. John 1:33, I read it to you. John said, I didn't know him, but the Father told me I know who he was when I saw the Spirit descending and remaining on him. Could I tell you, the dove not only lands on Jesus, but the dove remained on Jesus. Brother Oki, all through history, he hovered and he was gone. He hovered and he flew on. But when he came to Jesus, oh, hallelujah, he landed. And he stayed, he remained, and full of the Spirit, Jesus went to the wilderness, tempted of the devil. 40 days later, after awful temptation, Jesus left the wilderness, Brother Stevens, and it said he was still full of the Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the Spirit stayed with Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been preaching this to make a point in a moment for all of us. Amen. I want you to know, next of all, that Jesus is both the one on whom the dove lands, and he is the one who now sends the dove. I preached it to this point. The dove landed upon Jesus, remained upon him. The dove came upon Jesus, but the Jesus is also the one who now sends a dove. Hallelujah. John saw it. Look at verse 33. I read right through it, but he said the Spirit will descend and remain on him, and whom the dove lands on, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. The one the dove lands on is the one that sends the dove. Oh, that's why we're about glorifying Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. They killed him. He resurrected. He ascended to the Father. And 10 days later, the dove that had come upon Jesus in Jordan River, Jesus sent that dove to a place called the upper room. And that dove landed and remained on 120, a blood washed, born again. Oh, hallelujah. I remember the day when the dove came upon your life. Would you praise him right now? That was supposed to appeal to people, Brother Begley. This one upon whom the dove comes, he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's supposed to appeal to people. We're not seeking just a good time at Camp Dove. It'll be good. It'll be fun. We're not just seeking good music. We always have good music. Good lessons. We have great lessons at best. What we're looking for is for him to baptize in the Holy Ghost. Does that appeal to anybody? We're looking for the one upon whom the dove landed to send the dove this week upon our hearts. Hallelujah. As the Father sent the dove upon Jesus, Jesus returned to the Father, sent the dove upon the church, the blood wash. Jesus said in John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Therefore, in Acts it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear." Hallelujah. I'm talking about he sends the Spirit of truth that will lead you into all truth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He that has been with you, Jesus said, he will be in you. He'll take of mine. He'll show it unto you. He'll show you things to come. He'll lead you right. He'll give you victory over sin. He'll purify your heart. He'll quicken your mind, your heart, your life. Amen. He'll give you a holy mind. He'll give you holy emotions. He'll give you holy hunger. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord. He'll never mislead you. Never take you the wrong way. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the dove. Jesus sends a dove. I preached all that to preach the next minute and a half or 2 minutes. From all that I've shared, I want to share this to take with us to Camp Dove. Number one, the dove always and only comes upon Jesus. Do you hear me? The dove always and only comes upon Jesus. That dove that descended, it didn't come up on any other thing. Not a Sadducee, not a high priest, not a publican. That dove came upon Jesus. Hallelujah. It's still that way. Amen. The dove does not come upon the unregenerate, the unborn again life. The dove does not come upon just religion of men. The dove does not come on some little ritual or routine. The devil does not come upon sin and dark. The dove comes only and always upon Jesus. But could I tell you, great is the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're born again, if you're saved, Jesus is there in your life. And if Jesus is in your life, the dove can come upon Jesus in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many's got Jesus in your life? The dove comes upon Jesus. I said the dove comes upon Jesus. Not upon man. Not upon a popular preacher and his preaching. Amen. The dove comes upon Jesus. Oh, I said the dove comes upon Jesus. I said the dove comes upon Jesus. Not just in our heart, but in our worship. Amen. This isn't a talent show. This isn't to showcase the ability of men. I'm telling you, our worship should be about about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if we'll lift Jesus up in our singing, lift Jesus up in our testifying, lift Jesus up in our praying, I'm telling you, the dove will descend upon Jesus in our worship. Would you come, music? As we're looking for the dove to come as he came upon Jesus, we're also looking for him to remain. I believe the Holy Spirit's been doing a deep work. But I've seen this a lot at youth camps. I've seen young people and others let the Holy Spirit hover over them, maybe even land lightly for a moment. Felt good. It's youth camp. It's great. It's wonderful, exciting. And after youth camp, the dove, because of things in their life, just has to fly off. But I'm looking for a move of the dove, that not only does he hover and land, but like on Jesus, when they leave youth camp, they can say, and he remained. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides. Oh, no thirsting for the things of this world. They've taken wing. Why? He abides. He remains. Oh, hallelujah. I want to make one more historical note. And that is, in Noah's time, the dove was sent after the destruction. In our time, the dove has been sent out before the destruction. Noah's time, the dove was sent out after the judgment. In our time, the dove has been sent out before the judgment. Why? Because even this morning, hear me, even this morning, the Holy Spirit is reaching out for people who do not know the Lord. Their lives are hopeless. Their lives are purposeless. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to folks. So when the judgment and destruction comes to this earth, they'll be born again, ready for Jesus coming. Did anyone sense the flight of the dove throughout the building? Oh, you can almost see where he is a hovering. Amen. I'm not a mystic. I'm too much of a melancholy to be a mystic. But I believe if we're listening to God, he can speak to us from anything. Right? And I shared this last year. But I got prepared on Sunday evening of Camp Dove. It was almost church time. And I was headed towards the tabernacle. And a white dove, a real one, a white dove flew over the tabernacle. I shared that as we opened that service last year. You can say it's just a pigeon. Technically, there's not really a difference between a pigeon and a dove. What we call a pigeon is a rock dove. But it was solid white, and it flew right over the tabernacle. That spoke to me, Camp Dove. I mean, you couldn't ignore the parallel. Camp Dove, we're getting ready to start church, and a white dove flies over the tabernacle. You can't ignore that. And I was thinking of that as wonderfully as that spoke to me last year as I prepared this message, Sister Rose. I thought, you know, that was great and that was wonderful. But oh, dove, don't just fly over the tabernacle. Sweep into it. Hover over a sinner till they run to the altar. Hover over the one that's hungry for the Holy Spirit until they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Hover over the one that needs healing until they shout out, I'm healed. Hover over the one that needs deliverance till all of a sudden they're saying, I'm free, I'm free. Oh, and then I said, oh, Holy Spirit, don't just hover. Just land on some folks. I'm telling you, when he really lands, your life is forever changed by his power. And then I prayed, oh, don't just hover. Don't just land, but remain. Camp Dove's been over 8 weeks. Amen. The young people are moved by the Spirit, operating the gifts of the Spirit, seeing their friends at school get saved by a Holy Ghost anointed witness. Remain. Oh, Dove, remain. Hallelujah. Church, could I tell you one more time? It's not by might. It's not by by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. The things that need to be done, only the Spirit can do them. Man can't help. Man's not going to help. Oh, but the Spirit, He can do them. Oh, how many realize we need something supernatural beyond our ability, beyond our resources, beyond ourselves. Hallelujah. If it's your prayer upon your life, upon our church, upon the camp meeting, if it's your prayer, the Holy Spirit would come, the Holy Spirit would hover, the Holy Spirit would land, and the Holy Spirit would remain. If that's your desire, would you join me across this building and lift your hearts and hands and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit, I've got to have you. I can't do it on my own. I can't make it up on my own. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. Come on, let's pray. It's a reality. Amen. I know I preached from a metaphor, but it's more than a metaphor. It's more than a story. It's a reality of the Spirit of our God. Oh, I see hunger on the faces of the young people. They're close enough for me to see without my glasses. Hallelujah. Hungry for Jesus. Remember, He comes upon Jesus. He comes upon Jesus. He comes upon Jesus. Somebody glorify Jesus right now. Oh, what a Savior. What a Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know we've been talking about the coming of the Spirit. I preach the Spirit only comes upon Jesus. Amen. I want us to bow our hearts for just a moment, because there's those here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and said, Jesus, make me yours. I give you my life. I give you my heart. You don't know what it is for Him to possess your life. All you know is you feel hopeless. You feel purposeless. You feel darkness. But you also know you're feeling something else in the house. Could I tell you that's the Spirit of God drawing you to Jesus? That's the Spirit of God reaching out to you to bring you to Jesus, who died for your sins. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Whatever effort we put forth, we cannot save ourselves. So the Father sent the Son, Jesus, to die in our place, take our penalty. And all who trust in Jesus, who died for our sins, can have eternal life. We use these steps up here as an altar. And if you're here this morning, be honest all across the building. And you cannot say, I've been born again, my life's been changed. You cannot say, I've surrendered my heart to be the place that Jesus lives. But I need Him. I realize my lostness, my emptiness. If you need Jesus this morning, let me just put it that way. If you need Jesus, I want to invite you to come to these steps we use as an altar. And as soon as you get here, there'll be someone to pray with you. Amen. Church, you're praying across the building. I want to invite you to come. Come ahead. You're here and you need Jesus. Would you come? Somebody will be here to pray with you. Amen. Sisters, could you come pray? These young ladies, here's a young man here. There's others I'm waiting on. You need Jesus in your heart. Surrender to Him. Believe that He died for your sins. There's others. I'm waiting on you. You need Jesus this morning. You need Jesus this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not saying this facetiously. I'm not. Please. It's not derogatory or facetious. But I notice that God is stirring hunger in the hearts who've never known Him. A greater hunger than you'll even see in the churches. There's a hunger for reality. There's a hunger for something real. I want you to know Jesus is a reality. Jesus is real. The power. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Church, look at this. This isn't Sunday night to start a Camp Dove. But this altar's full of young folks needing Him. Amen. some more of you come, begin to pray with them. I mean, that's good to put a hand on, but not just put a hand on them, be there for them. Pray with them. Lead them in prayer. Amen. Help them, encourage them to pour out their hearts to Jesus, to surrender themselves to the Lord. And as they're coming, there's someone else here. A young man needs the Lord. You need Jesus. Would you come? There's still room, a little bit of room right here and over here. Amen. Would you come? Give your heart and life to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Would you come? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, press in here as many deep as you can. Amen. Maybe you can't even get to them, but lay your hand on somebody that's got their hand on them. Amen. Press in here, church. If you're not praying for somebody, let's pray for that visitation of the dove. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray that it come upon your life, your family, our church, upon the camp meeting. Oh, he comes upon Jesus. He comes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Let's seek him, church. Let's seek him this morning. Come on, call on his name. Call out to Jesus. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. You died. You died that I could be forgiven. You paid the price for my sins. Oh, that's it. Pray for these across this building. Pray for these across this building. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Church, if you can't get up here, stretch forth an arm this way and pray for these. Oh, Holy Spirit, you make Jesus real. Holy Spirit, you convict us of sin. Let us know that we're wrong and that we need Jesus. Holy Spirit, you give us repentant hearts. You give us repentance in our hearts, Holy Spirit, where we can cry out, forgive me, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, welcome the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Hallelujah. Call on his name. Call on Jesus. Believe the truth of his word. Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. You weren't created for sin. You weren't created for the enemy to destroy. You were created as God's creation, to be a follower, a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's pray. If you have to leave, leave quietly. There's those praying in this altar. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit. You prayer warriors that are praying for these, seek God. Seek God for these. Hallelujah. 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 Father, a mercy and grace. Thou art welcome in this place. Oh, you're welcome, Holy Spirit. Lord, you're welcome in my heart.
There's healing divine.
There's healing divine. No other power can save.
Lord, but thine Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
You're welcome. I welcome you, Jesus, into my life. Take me, Lord. Take my heart.